A lot of stuff to get off our chest too. Man. Yo, Calvin.
Yes, sir.
How you doing today, brother?
Man, I'm doing great, man. What's going on?
Man, we're gonna start this thing off. First, we lost a couple of legends. Before we get down to the nitty gritty, I gotta give our roses out. We lost one of some legends, you know. Our thoughts and prayers go out to the great Barbara Walters, you know, one of the GOATs. And also, soccer legend, my man Pelé, passed away this week. Regarded as one of the greatest soccer players that ever lived, you know, played what he called the beautiful game. Pioneer, you know, 3 World Cups for Brazil. No one's ever done that. And he played at such a high level for such a high long time. And I mean, for such a very long time, and anything I can say about this guy is not going to give it no justice. That's how great he was. We talk about the, in our favorite sports, we talk about our greats, the Hank Aarons, on the Nolan Ryans, the Michael Jordans, the Larry Birds. You know, Pelé in the sport of soccer was real. I mean, if you really want to, you know, get down to it, you really want to call spades spades around here. He was all them put together when it came to soccer. I mean, just Google him. We give all these high praise to the LeBron Jameses of the world, the things that John Morant's doing right now, the things that Giannis has done, things we never seen before. He has done that already before we was even born. He was that dude before we was even born, y'all. But we don't give us as Americans, we don't give soccer the credit it deserves, the praise it deserves, because we like offensive stuff. We like offensive sports. Sports where we see a lot of scoring going on, you know, like basketball and football. Baseball, more defensive. So to a lot of us, it's not as exciting. Soccer, defensive. Hockey, defensive.
Yeah.
Defensive minded sports where defense is undoubtedly, unequivocally, the difference between winning and losing.
Yep.
That's what, and Pelé was that man. He was him. So my thoughts and prayers go out to his family. He lived a full life, the greatest to ever do it. Man, we gave our roses to Franco Harris last week. Now we close out 2022 and saying goodbye to a couple more legends. Man, you know, it's a crazy world out here. It's a crazy world out here. That's all I can say.
Sad but true.
Yeah, but we love you guys. But I'm gonna pass this mic around. And you know what, Kev? Yeah. I talked to you already, you know, see how you doing. Romar, we're gonna kick this show off with you today.
Alright.
Yeah, Wheelhouse Roulette. What's on your mind, brother?
I want to talk about this impressive game that LeBron put up last night on his birthday. Yeah. That 47 looked real good.
Yeah, 47 points. But yeah. My thing is this.
And let's talk about how I said last night secretly. In the East right now, outside of Boston, that Jersey team coming together, they might be the scariest team in the East to face right now.
Yes. But let's chop it about LeBron first. 40-point, yeah, triple dunk. We expect that out of LeBron. So, as remarkable as that is, and it's crazy we put LeBron on such a high pedestal, because that's things that we kind of expect out of him every night. Even though he doesn't bring it, that's what we expect out of him. So when we see, okay, yeah, LeBron's being LeBron right now. He had a pretty decent game. Whereas, say, as Jalen Brunson does that, oh, he had a spectacular game.
Yeah.
So it's... you get what I'm saying, though?
Yeah.
Some
things surprise you, some things don't.
The thing about this Lakers is, and don't get me wrong, I don't hate the Lakers, y'all. I just don't believe in them. I think they just need to, Jenny Buss just need to hand everybody that she signs a check to a pink slip. That's what I feel about it. But back to LeBron. I think the thing about it is, okay, one or two nights, okay, that's fun, but you're still at the bottom of the West.
Yeah,
you still got a long way to go, and it just seems like these type of things happen is because something bad happened and you need a spark. AD goes down, okay, you need a spark. Okay, one or two spectacular games here, but you done lost another eight. That's the part that's frustrating about being a Lakers fan right now. Okay, it's good for right now, but this is starting to become the bad part of the abusive relationship, where you don't get as many gifts and many presents no more. You just get the beatings. These gifts are coming too far in between. The only thing you can remember is that backhand that you got. Because one night was good. Y'all went out dinner dancing and everything, and the next night, you said the wrong thing and off we go again. So that's my thing about the Lakers. That's my thing about the Lakers. Now, as far as what's going on with Brooklyn, I like what's going on with Brooklyn. This is starting to become a team that I can probably, Brooklyn is starting to pique my interest. Cause y'all remember day one, I said I was never sold on Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. And a lot of reasons why is, you had injury issues with Kevin Durant. You had injury issues with Kyrie. You had a rookie head coach in Steve Nash, who we all know just did not deserve the job. He was just not ready for that. You trade away a couple of good pieces, and then you start off and you're not even playing together. Like, it took you this season alone. I believe KD and Kyrie have been on the floor together more now than they have in the past three seasons.
They have. Zonos look like they might get their first full season.
And that was my biggest sticking point. Outside of Steve Nash, you guys gotta play together. And I've argued with folks up and down, well, they got this kind of talent, they got this kind of talent. I don't care about all that. This is a 7-game series. I mean, look how many times even the greats have gotten sent home early. This ain't easy. So you gotta have that cohesiveness. You gotta have that chemistry there. So now they're starting to build, now they're on the floor more, regardless of whatever injuries or off the field issues they are. Okay, now this is time to look like a team that you can buy stock in.
Yeah, they tied with Milwaukee for the two spot. They got the same record.
Now, see, I think my thing with Milwaukee is I can look at the Milwaukee Bucks and see right now that they just coasting. Their talent is winning the basketball games. They don't really care about the regular season. That's the way it looks like that they're balling right now.
Okay.
They'll have a couple of good showings, but then when they start facing these good teams, oh, now all of a sudden, they don't win as many of those games.
It's kind of like a light switch that goes off or something, or?
Yeah, it's like, we're not gonna risk injury, putting out best effort against the good teams. We're just gonna beat up on the bad teams, making it to the playoffs, and then we're gonna give our best effort there. Mm. That's what I might be wrong. If y'all see something different, please let me know, because that's what I see when I see the Milwaukee Bucks right now. They're winning just purely off of their talent. They're not giving their best effort every night or on every play. Now, when it comes to the postseason, they're gonna start balling
in. You need to show up in new games, regular season right now, against good regular season teams, because these teams some of these teams that's good in the regular season might be one of these teams you end up playing in the playoffs, and if you take them lightly during the regular season, that don't look good for you going to face them in the playoffs.
Exactly. They just worried about getting into the playoffs. Yeah, now they'll take bulletin board.
In the playoffs, it's the East.
Now you see my problem. Now, do you see something different though? Do you see a different Milwaukee Bucks than what I see?
No, not really.
Okay, so that's my thing with them, because right now, I mean, you got Boston, Now, I have not watched a lot of basketball, so y'all gotta help me out with this one. Basketball, I see Miami got problems. Am I wrong? I was banking on Miami to look a whole lot better than what they looking. I don't know what it is. I have not seen a much. I have not seen enough of them, but I know that's a better basketball team than what they putting out right now.
You talk about like Miami. You done seen this for the last couple of years. They start off the season iffy, and somehow they creep up and be one of the best teams in the East by the end of the season.
And I'm not saying
Eric Spoelstra can't keep they can't keep doing that.
And I'm not saying for that Milwaukee is not doing this as the same game plan. But you got, right now at the top, we talking about Boston. You got Milwaukee's there, Philly's there. Should Cleveland be in this mix?
I can't see why not. At least at the moment, probably yes. Because, you know, you still got, you know, a young squad that's really trying to, you know, fit their way into the top four.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But, you know, you got to look at some of these, like, other teams, like 5-8 or 5-10. You know, some of the ones is like, you know, they are trying to find their footing to see where they belong. So, I don't know.
Now, to your credit, I don't believe in Indiana. Indiana's a scrappy team.
They're young, but they look good.
I just don't believe in them, though. Not yet. You 19 and 17 in the East, and then Miami's a 500 team. You got New York, Atlanta, and Chicago at number 10. Boston, Milwaukee, Brooklyn, Cleveland. That's your top four. I can't.
I see Philly maybe ending up in that fourth spot.
I can see Cleveland in the finals.
Really? Over Boston?
Yes, over Boston.
Or Milwaukee. Or
I don't know. I don't think it's Cleveland's time yet.
I know. I know.
Well, if they end up
in Mexico, in Mexico, they call it cojones.
That's a lot because Donovan Mitchell don't show up.
Yes, but this is a long season.
But he got a better team.
It's a long season. This is a young team that can ball, and they are in the East. Now, I say that to say that for a reason. I hate to put it this way. I expect Joel Embiid to get hurt again. I don't expect Brooklyn to stay healthy, nor Milwaukee. I don't expect none of them to stay healthy. I believe in a young, scrappy team coming out of the East.
Well, then, Boston just is young and scrappy, and they done been there.
Yeah, but they can't stay healthy. Right now. This is early in the season.
Yeah.
This is where there's a lot of stuff that can go.
We actually are almost halfway through if you think about it, because they're only 36 games in. So we're almost halfway there.
Yeah, almost half. Yeah, we're still beginning half though. And I really like this Cleveland squad. I've been high on Cleveland ever since last season when they was the eighth seed. So everybody's high on Boston. Boston's looking good right now. Milwaukee's still number two, but I seen them play down to their competition sometimes. Brooklyn is starting to look like Brooklyn. Now, I can also say this, though. Mm-hmm. If Brooklyn stays healthy, they're going to take over Milwaukee. They'll take Milwaukee. I can see Brooklyn being the number two seed.
It's possible.
If they stay healthy.
What about Luka and that 60-point triple?
Now you want to talk about the West, though.
Yeah.
West. Luke. All right, before we talk about that, the West is like this. New Orleans, Denver, Memphis, Clippers, The Sacramento Kings is at number 5.
Who saw that coming?
Before we even get to Luka. Before we even get to Luka, this is the top 5. New Orleans, Denver, Memphis, the Clippers, and the Sacramento Kings. The Sacramento, this is the highest they've been ranked since Jason Kidd was there. No.
Yeah.
No, Mike Bibby, I'm sorry. Mike Bibby. My bad. Don't hurt me.
Man, Webber, don't leave off my boy.
Oh, the greatest choke artist of all time. that Chris Webber.
Well, from 2002?
Look. I like Chris Webber. I know you said
the timeout was the curse.
And not only the time, between the timeout and Tim Donaghy, this is an award that he has to wear, because it was one time ESPN had a 25-year anniversary special. They 25 years. And they had this segment, this show on there called the 25 Greatest Chokes. Of all time. Chris Webber was on there twice.
Wow.
One for the timeout and one for that Western Conference Finals where they had the Lakers and they blew it. And he did not show up. A lot of that did have to do with Tim Donaghy, but still, on paper, he has to wear that.
Well, yeah, you do. But it is interesting. Five in the West.
And it just seems after that in closeout games for the rest of his career, in closeout games, he was not having the best game. Yeah. The Fab Five will always get respect forever. Don't get me wrong. I was a fan of Chris Webber, especially when he was in Golden State. With Tim, oh my God, NBA Live back then. You had Tim Hardaway, Chris Mullin, and Chris Webber. Oh Lord, what Miss Richmond?
And we call Run TMC, right?
Run TMC. That was a cheat code for NBA Live 95. You had that squad. You bet not a loss. You bet not a loss. That was the, oh my. Oh my God, you had to get the code to Contra Beach if you had that squad right there.
So where you think they're going to end up at?
What, the war?
Sacramento, if they hold it up.
Dang, the sky's the limit for them. Because look, out of those five, how many championships are won out of the top five?
Here you go again with those championships.
How much championship experience is amongst those top five?
Kevin, you know this leading up to his Dallas fan all the time. He loves that.
Okay, the top six.
See, there you go.
Yeah, well, what, one? Yeah.
Only
one
the Dallas one. Mavericks.
There you go, every time.
Oh, man.
Out of all the contenders. So, we can go all the way to the top eight.
So are we not giving the Kings flowers now? You know,
I give the Kings just as much of a chance to win the West as any team out of the top eight.
No, you tripping.
So, okay, if we look at the standings now on the West, this is why I was used to say then, the West is usually stacked more than the East. You know, if you look from 1 to 10, from the Pelicans.
1 to 10 is separated by 5 games.
Bingo. Now, on the Eastern end, from 1 to 10 is what? 9.5. So that right there tells you it's like there's a little gap between the West and the East. And because, you know, the Western teams, man, it's like they all, yeah, everybody's beating each other. There's no major, you know, dominance. Because, I mean, everything's even, basically, from 1 to 10.
The top 10, you have to go all the way to number 10 in the West to have a 500 team. And that's the Utah Jazz.
Yes.
And they starting to come back to earth now. Now the clock ain't strike midnight on them yet. It's at 11:59. I think they got a couple more runs in it. I still think the Utah Jazz is going to make the playoffs. Mm. By hook or crook, somehow, some way, them cockroaches cannot be killed.
So, three weeks ago, they was like what, number 2?
Yeah. So I mean, they had a rough. They probably had a rough stretch of games.
Yeah.
But something about the Utah Jazz, man, they just stick around, yo. They just stick around. I don't get it.
And need, keep in mind, Gobert's not there anymore. Donovan Mitchell's not there anymore.
Yeah, you're supposed to suck after you clean house.
somebody didn't listen to you on that one.
They got a secret power. A superpower called Danny Ainge.
Man, somebody get that man a statue. because we give them so much flack. I give Utah Jazz so much flack, especially over their name. The name just don't match to me. But we'll get into that later. But this team always been contenders. They've always been
relevant.
I mean, from the John Stockton, Karl Malone days, all the way up until now, they have not always made the playoffs, but they always contended in the playoffs. And if they didn't make it there, they was almost there. It was like, I can't remember the last time the Utah Jazz had a top 10 draft lottery pick. I don't remember.
The only bad thing about it is when they get to the playoffs, they usually flame out in the first round.
Not as they traded for it. They never had number one overall pick.
I don't think so.
I ain't never known them to get.
Or even a top five pick.
Yeah, so that's my point. They've always been good. Never great. I mean, they have great players, but teams haven't been great. Just good enough to make it to the playoffs, maybe the Western Conference Finals, maybe some NBA Finals. But they just never won it all. Mm-mm. Only team in the top 10 that has done that. I'm sorry. What? Only two teams in the top 10. The Golden State Warriors at number 9. And the Dallas Mavericks at number 6. There's no championship experience in the West. So back to your original point. Yes, the sky is the limit for the Sacramento Kings. They got good chances of everybody else to make it all the way. Now, when I say a good enough chance, now let's take it from the top. We got the New Orleans Pelicans. As long as Zion stays healthy, this is their conference. Now I take that back. Cause we got number 2. The Denver Nuggets. How can somebody? Now you talking about cheat codes. How can a man average 20 points? Not even average, but, you know, points, rebounds, assists. Have these kind of crazy triple doubles. Now, I'm not just talking about Lucas. We're going to get to Lucas, but what Nikola Jokic is doing without the ability to jump.
I knew you were going to say that too.
I knew it. He's cheating.
No, I don't think so, because you heard Luka made a statement, it's easier to score in the NBA than it is in overseas ball.
Obviously it is, because the things I've seen Nikola Jokic do, and not even just, like I said, he's not even getting above the rim most of the time, not even half the time. He jumps when he feels like it, but still out-rebounding.
Skill.
Out rebounds, dribbles, finding guys open, making his teammates better. And so they're always going to dance around, and they're going to dance around at between the 2, 3, 4, and 5.
Yeah, Murray got to stay healthy.
Murray has to stay healthy. And another guy who needs to stay healthy at number 3 is the Memphis Grizzlies.
Mm-hmm.
Memphis Grizzlies, they have everything they need to make it to the finals. This is their problem.
Inexperience.
They're getting the experience now, but their problem is they gotta find a way to switch the game plan up, adjust the game plan per quarter. It seems like per game is either John Morant's going to get off or the whole team is going to get off. That's how they had that record last year when they were like, 18-19-1 without him in the lineup?
Like 20-5?
Something like that.
Right.
The whole team can play without him and win, or he can play with the team and win, but they can't do it together. It's either or. they have a hard time flipping that switch. So a lot of folks ain't gonna like gonna follow that, but you know, you watch the Memphis Grizzlies. One, they're not the same. They're still both good teams, but the style is they play two different styles. They can't play the same. They can't play both styles every game. It's either one style this game or this style the next game. It's either John Morant style or the Memphis Grizzlies style. That's how, that Memphis Grizzlies style. That blew somebody out by like 50 last year. Like 70 points last year. With John Morant out the lineup.
Right.
They all can get off. They all can get off, but they can't play that way with John Morant on the floor. You see what I'm saying?
So do you see a deep run with them in the playoffs this year?
Deep?
Like, I give them second round.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard to predict past second round.
CJ.
Hey.
Morning, bro.
Welcome. Coming to the studio is my guy, the biggest Cowboy fan that I know of, and probably you too, Mr. CJ Richardson. How you doing this morning?
Well, hello there, gentlemen.
Good morning, brother.
What's going on, man?
How are you guys doing on this last day of 2022?
Man, we are having a blast chopping up, talking to some sports. You know how we doing. We kicking it about this NBA before we get into some boxing and some NFL. So real quick, we went over the Eastern Conference, Western Conference. Yo, in your wheelhouse of basketball, tell me your thoughts on the NBA right now. Who you like in the East? Who you like in the West? What are you seeing so far, especially going on this week with the performances of Ja Morant, Luka Doncic, you know, LeBron's outburst last night. You know, holler at us. Tell me your thoughts on your NBA right now.
Well, before we get started, I would think that you guys would recognize it. It was only appropriate of me to dress appropriately this morning for the last show of the year for the YB Sports programming. And I appreciate you for having me.
It's always a blessing, sir. It's always a blessing to have you, sir.
Also, if you want my opinion of NBA basketball, trash. Trash. Straight trash. I can't name five players on one goddamn team other than Golden State. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to just be honest with y'all. The NBA right now, the four of us could go out there and upset three teams. All they doing is that wicked behind their back, between the leg, alley-oop, want to put somebody on a poster. You know what I'm saying? It's about 10 players at the top, and who are the rest? The NBA right now is absolute trash. Everybody want to team up, want to play with somebody. I don't want to watch this crap. That's why they got shut out on Christmas Day by the NFL. The NFL strategically put all of the goddamn best games on to combat the NBA and shut them down. Even when they put the worst games on Sunday, guess what happened? The NBA is trash. CJ says so. I ain't got nothing to say about it. I don't like the NBA right now. I really don't.
No, that's an interesting. I'm real glad you brought that, because that's really interesting. You really made me. Change my mindset about something, because I noticed, you know, on Christmas last weekend there was like 11 football games on Saturday.
Yeah.
3 football games on Sunday, and my mindset was, wow, NBA got awestruck. They done made the NFL just change their whole lineup. Like, it was just NFL Sunday, NFL Saturday instead of NFL Sunday. But now I see what you're saying, CJ. It only took them 3 games to outdo the NBA. And it wasn't even their greatest one.
It was the worst 3 games, and they still outdid them.
Yeah, because we all just going to gravitate to football right now.
Exactly.
Let's see what happens when Christmas falls on a Sunday next time.
I know, right?
I didn't even have a think of to look at an NBA game on Christmas Day.
No, we was mighty entertained. So the NFL won, NBA 0.
I know that.
Okay. So I was kind of hoping, waiting for my man, Mr. Bach, the boxing guru, Mr. Bach Daniels going on. But he said he's going to be on whenever he gets there. But first, CJ.
Yes, sir.
We're gonna talk a little boxing real quick. And we got a boxer that looks like he's gonna be in a lot of trouble, and we're talking about Mr. Gervonta Tank Davis. Now, have you heard of the I'm pretty sure you're aware of the incident. So give me your thoughts, because right now, I'm gonna tell you right now, I think he's done.
Nah.
I think he's done. So you tell me why he's not.
All right, well, first of all, he has some other legal problems going on. Always, most superstars got problems, you know. And this boy from the Inner Harbor, Baltimore area, so you know he's from the hood anyway. Say he ride around the Bentley all day through the hood. But here's the issue, right? What happens is when you got baby mamas, you know, you don't know what the real story is, you know. And if you guys been following the story, he got a story and she got a story. But you know what happens when he got a story, she got a story, and there's money involved? Money usually wins. So she's already recanted her claims already. That came out yesterday. She she put out a story where she said, I made a mistake. I irrationally made a call to the authorities, and I was never in danger. The baby was never in danger. He didn't do anything wrong. You know how the story goes. That's typical. That's typical rich people problem. You know what I'm saying? But had one of me or you or anybody on this panel would have done it, you've been down at the Justice Center right now.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
You know? So he's not done because he got money. I don't know if it's hush money or... And see, when it comes to domestic issues, you know, we always try to err on the side of caution. And we have sympathy for the little ladies and the kids. You know, we do. But the African-American male is the most bashed creature in the justice system ever. Because if we get an inclination that you done put your hand on a woman, the first thing they want to do is lock us up, throw away the key.
Absolutely.
So we don't get the benefit of the doubt. And things like this, I tend to say, I can't really speak on it, because I wasn't there and I don't have enough information. You see what I'm saying? That's my standpoint. I don't have enough information. Right now I got a he said, she said, tabloid, busted story. I don't know what's going on, but I know TMZ want to put something out there. That's just what they do.
Man, I don't know, man. I don't know how they begin. They the first to know, and it's always
everything.
They the first to know. Yo, Roman, what you say about that?
I don't feel that it's over for him, but it definitely was not a good look for the incident to even happen. Regardless of what happened, or it just ain't a good look. It's like it's a black eye on your reputation.
He said the girl wanted a goddamn Mercedes truck for Christmas, and he said he wasn't going to get it.
And if she did to make him look bad for a Mercedes truck.
Well, women do that. They do it for $50.
Yeah, very true. I mean, yeah, very true. But, and you got a big fight coming up. And you promoting yourself like right now.
Let me just jump in for a second. Okay. This ain't got nothing to do with the fight.
No, true.
You know, let's take all this money and all this riches away. Domestic issues happen in every home. They might not be this severe. Okay. But what happens is, if you give hood people money, and I ain't really calling the dude hood. That's what I heard. He's from the hood. I don't know. I don't know his upbringing. But my point is, just like if you gave me more money today, I'm just going to be a more visible CJ. It's the same CJ, though. Yeah. I'm just more visible. See, what we do is, once people become a superstar status, they get their superstar status, then we hold them to a certain, oh, well, they must be doing everything right, or, oh, they must be. No, they just normal people like we are, with a whole lot of money.
And it depends. And sometimes,
right,
you give some of these individuals that type of money, and they don't know how to act.
Oh, facts.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah, Kevin.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with everything CJ said. Like I said, we weren't there, you know, so we don't have enough. If, like I said, I didn't know a whole lot of it until last night's conference call. So, and that made me had to research a few things, but again, there's way more to the story than what's even being told, too.
Right.
So, like I say, that's why, you know, that's why I basically stayed away from it, because, I mean, I saw a glimpse of the article, But again, you know, like I said, and a lot of people hadn't really posted it on social media that much, to be honest with you. I mean, at least not from my timeline. So I couldn't tell you which way to go, honestly. So I couldn't tell you.
Yeah, well, I appreciate y'all for schooling me on all that, because I just heard about it. I didn't make no predetermined judgment, no assumptions or anything. So I appreciate that. The Bible says iron sharpens iron. Y'all just schooled me on that. So,
but the boy 5'7", 140 pounds. You know,
soaking wet too.
Yeah. So outside the ring, you know, the weight class is different.
Right.
Now, from the video I saw, she might be a welterweight. He's a little flyweight or lightweight. So, you know, the scale ain't even outside the ring.
Yeah. I understand that. So, what is it, 9:56? You guys want to talk a little bit of football? Y'all go.
Hey, that's what we're here.
Oh, yeah, that's the main thing we came in for.
So, CJ.
Well, we got number 12.
Yeah, I'm about to say congratulations on that victory. Give me your thoughts on that game the other night.
Hey, look, for real, everybody knew the Cowboys in a primetime matchup, playing a lesser opponent. We knew that we were going to play down to the competition. Everybody knew that. So it was mainly that game for the Cowboys was just win the game and try to, as best you can, get out injury-free. And we caught a few L's in the injury column. You know, we got a few players banged up, but we came in short week. We did what we had to do. Now we got days to rest before we eliminate the Washington football team from the playoff. Yeah.
Okay. Speaking of some of those players you had to rest, you had a running back. I think it's number 34.
Willis.
What do you think about his performance?
I like Willis. And, the thing is with Willis is, he's got size and skill. Size, speed, and skill, but he doesn't get enough carries because of Pollard and Zeke. It just ain't enough ball to go around. So oftentimes he's inactive, but we keep him around for a reason. The boy got skill; he can ball. But it's, you know, in a backfield where Pollard just made the Pro Bowl, Zeke got the bag, is you don't fit in, and I just ain't enough room for you right now.
So, let's just say hypothetically speaking, one of them go down. Pollard, Zeke, and he has to fill in. Which one do you think he would compliment more? Would he compliment Pollard more, or would he compliment Zeke more?
Pollard.
He'll compliment Pollard more?
Because he's a bigger back. He can do a lot of the things that Zeke can do between the tackles, and he can help in the passing game as well. See, if Pollard goes down, I don't think he'll be able to go out on the edge and do some of those things that Pollard does. Pollard helps him both the passing and the run game. Plus, this guy, he's another guy that can block like Zeke as well. So I think he would compliment Pollard better because he'd bring more of Zeke attributes to the game.
So do you think come this offseason, regardless of what goes on, Jerry Jones might make a move on from Zeke?
I think the Pollard injury actually saved Zeke's time in Dallas. You know what I'm saying? Because what happens is in split time, you know, both of them getting even carries. Pollard hasn't made it through the last two seasons without an injury, you know. So that injury might just be what saves Zeke in the offseason.
Oh, yeah, because this about
durability.
Reason why I'm asking that, because this offseason is about to be cut. It's going to be a nasty offseason. We already started seeing some of the ugliness going on. So I'm going to throw this question, Mr. Kevin Harris. Give me your thoughts on what happened up in Las Vegas with Mr. Derek Carr.
Man, I'm going to tell you this, though. It's a whole messy situation all the way around. That is how he stepped away from the team. He's basically done in Vegas. And now I'm hearing, I don't know, like I said, it's, you know, there's a rumor mill that who knows, he might get traded, you know, to, you know, a couple of teams may want him or whatever. Can't speculate which ones yet, but it's just a whole messy situation. And it's just sad because you actually had a microscopic chance of trying to make something out of it, but the way it's been going, it's like, it's just went dysfunction all the way around.
Oh, yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's 10 o'clock. It's the Studio W Sports page. I got my guys here with me, Mr. Kevin Harris, Mr. Romar Smith online, Mr. CJ Richardson, Mr. Romar.
Yeah.
Talking about these Raiders, and I didn't like the way it went down. You know, if folks didn't know, Derek Carr was pretty much benched for the last two games of the season, then mutually agreed to stay at home to wait for the team to be a distraction. They say if he is cut 3 days within 3 days of the Super Bowl, the Raiders could save about $5 million against the cap. He has not had a really good season this season. However, he might be a hot commodity coming in the off season. So, give me your thoughts on what Derek Carr is going on. What's going on there?
I mean, he done made him look good for the whole time he been there. He done made him relevant at times, dealing with having different coaches and all that. But to bench him and tell him to stay away from the team and not be a distraction, that's a distraction in itself right there by telling me to stay at home.
Yeah, I mean.
And Josh McDaniel ain't no coach.
And before I throw this to CJ, I mean this right here, it just looks like typical Raiders fashion to turn something where you had potential and just turn into a hot mess. I think they should have stayed with Derek Carr, give him and Devontae Adams at least one more year together. Now I say that to say this, Devontae Adams he's got to be livid. He came to the Raiders, left Green Bay to go to play with Derek Carr just for one season. And not only that, think about the fans. My dad bought a Devontae Adams jersey from J&J, courtesy, and thank y'all. This show is sponsored by J&J. Y'all can catch him on 3302 Williamsburg Road, Supreme Flea Market. Tell him WB Studio W sent you. But that's money down the drain. So now the whole franchise gone. CJ,
you
please help me out with these Raiders here.
All right, look. First of all, it's a business move. You know, you got to protect your asset. If he gets hurt, can't trade them. Don't nobody want them. You basically giving them away. So that's why they put them on the bench. Stay home, PR, whatever. That's probably like a behind the scenes, you know, cause no baller wants to, come in and you used to be in the starter and then you got Stenham, starting. So that was a pretty good PR move, I think, as well. Stay home. You know, I mean, that's like if you the boss at your job, when you get demoted, and now your boy, he running the job, I ain't really feeling too good about coming in tomorrow either. You know, so I can understand it, but all in all, it was a great move by the Raiders. It's not a popular move, but it's a good move for business, because now, when you cut them, you can save this money, or if you trade them, because I think there's a trade market for him, and he's healthy. You know, so you can get more for him knowing that he's going to be healthy than, you know, taking a risk, putting him back out on the field and he gets injured. So I like the move. You know, I don't like the surroundings of it. I don't like McDaniels as a coach. None of us do, you know, but I can understand it.
I agree with that one. No one likes Josh McDaniels as a coach. The sooner he can get back to New England, the better.
Wherever he's going. Yeah.
Cause I mean, the team that has some of the best colors in the league just has some of the worst luck. But speaking of some of the worst luck, yo, I'm gonna throw this back to Mr. Romar. We got CJ, our honor guest that comes here. He says something about the Commanders, and you got some grievances about the Commanders. Would you care to have the floor and air out your grievances, sir?
I mean, it just feel like he want to throw away a chance at making the playoffs. We starting wins. Why not keep it with the person that the team been playing and rallying around? Yeah, he had a bad performance against the 49ers, and they talking about how we ain't been scoring in the red zone once he get us down there and things like that. I can understand all that, but I don't like the move at all. It's like we just gonna go ahead and trick up what we had as a somewhat good chance of being in the playoffs.
I love it.
Kevin, before we let CJ have it, I'm gonna get the Washington Commander fans here.
I already knew coming into it. I said CJ's gonna have a field day on this one because I knew something was up. Like the minute he got pulled last Saturday, and when anytime you put a rumor mill saying, who are we gonna start this coming week? And when you start putting that out, I already knew something bad was gonna happen then on Monday. But I'm thinking when they put Wentz out, and I'm thinking, mind you, he has not played since week 6. So, you know, and the bad thing is Wentz, we all know how he performs most of the time. He holds the ball too long. He gets sacked too many times, you know. And then of course, it's like we've been struggling. And then of course, you know, losing the locker room on top of that, you know, That's never a good thing. And this is like the most crucial point of the season where you could have controlled your own destiny. But now you got like 3 or 4 teams right behind us. They are chomping at the bit. And then you throwing Wentz out there. And I'm thinking like, what is Rivera thinking? he must be seeing something we're not seeing, because I knew something was going to go wrong then. And I'm thinking he just threw your whole season away just by making that one move. I guess that Riverboat Ron thing, that thing ain't gonna work. I don't see it. I mean, if they somehow do something tomorrow, it'll be a miraculous thing. But right now, I can't. I don't like it. Period.
CJ.
We wish you a merry.
And there you go. There you have it.
We gave you a nice old Christmas.
Boy, when I heard this hymn.
Yeah.
And we play them next week. Oh, hold on to the ball, Wentz. Hold it. I can't wait for third down. Boy. Oh, my God. This made my goddamn day right here. Now, look. Y'all done took a boy out the game that's been got a winning record.
Exactly.
Y'all done took a dude out the game that's got a winning record and put this boy into the goddamn game. How you gonna do that? I am tripping some kind of hard, man. I'm just letting you know right now. So, hey, man, look, Ron Rivera gonna get fired. Carson Wentz ain't gonna be back next year. And I don't care.
Yeah. Well,
I love this.
Well, one thing I will agree on, Rivera is, he's definitely on the hot seat after that move. He's got to be.
Right, what about the GM?
I think they all deserve to be on.
Everybody, not so fast.
See, when you got billionaire friends, you don't lose your job immediately.
That's true.
See, we got to figure out who does the owner have the best relationship with. That's who doesn't get fired. If his relationship with Ron Rivera is good, Ron Rivera stays. If his relationship with the GM is better, then the GM stays. So that's how that's going to play out.
But with the team up for sale, then who knows?
Yeah, but with the current ownership, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
It ain't sold yet. So you can make decisions until you sold, and they take over. Until that money say ding, ding, mm-hmm. And you hear that little chirp on that Cash App, that's still them people say.
Very true.
Interesting.
So we don't know which way this thing going to go. That was my – I got to take a pause for a second. I'm going to be right back, all right? I'm supposed to be going to brunch, but we're going to see how that play out. Hold on, y'all. I'll be right back.
All right, take your time, CJ. CJ Richardson, ladies and gentlemen. This is Studio W Sports Page. Like I said, brought to you by J&J Sporting Goods. Yo, 3302 Winsburg Road, Supreme Flea Market. Tell my boy Jameel Naeem, yo, Studio W sent you. Hey, it's about that time, guys. It's 10 minutes after. We got to start. We got to get into these NFL picks, man. This thing blew by so quick today. I mean, especially because we had technical difficulties, we kind of started a little bit behind, but that's not either here or there. But, it was still, we still chopped it up. We still did. I still think we did pretty good. We got some boxing in. We got some basketball in.
Oh, hold on real quick. What y'all think about Tua and this fourth concussion?
I never want to see Tua on the field again. Plain and simple.
Do y'all really think, do you think?
Plain and simple. It's nothing, against his talent.
Do you think his career is over, or
this,
is it about time to make a decision to think?
This is all, going to be up to the mind of Tua that has been rattled four times. That's my problem. I never want to see Tua on the field ever again. And that's just for his health, for his future. I don't want to see him on the field no more. And it had nothing to do with his talent. He is a good quarterback. Yeah. Could be great if he stays healthy. Yes, I would give him that, all that potential. But for me, the juice is just not worth the squeeze. Wow. It's just not.
I feel you. Four concussions in the season.
That's a record in itself.
I had a concussion one time. You know what happened? I don't. Last time I had a concussion, I'm gonna tell the story real quick. I used to print bank statements for SunTrust Bank. I was living in Georgia, and I used to ride my bicycle on, mountain bike. Used to ride 10 miles to work, 10 miles home. 4th of July weekend around 2011, it's 100 degrees outside. I had to work that overtime shift, so it's at nighttime. Because I worked the overnight shift, but I worked during the day, rode home that night. And right before I left, I always do my bike inspection. Check the tires, check the headlights, yada, yada, check the brakes. Okay, I noticed that my rear brakes was kind of tight. Well, no, kind of loose. They was loose, so I tightened them. And that was before I left. So, goes to work. On the way home, there's this reason why I tighten these brakes up. It's this intersection I like to call Dead Man's Ditch. It's a real steep hill, and it's an intersection at the bottom of it. Oh, it's fun going down it when you get that speed going. And like I said, it's 100 degrees outside. So, yes, I need that breeze for oxygen. But, like, I'm driving down this steep hill, and I'm like, okay, I see a car coming down the intersection. So I'm going down, and I just tap my brakes. Now, when I told you I tightened my brakes up before I left, right?
Oh, you tightened them up too tight.
Yeah. So I just tapped on the brakes. That rear wheel locked up instant. Click. That bike stayed, and that's where the bike stayed. Me, on the other hand, I'm flying in the air like I'm swimming. Remind you, I have no shirt on. It's 100 degrees outside.
Oh, wow.
I am flying in midair, and I see nothing but concrete around me. I'm looking at the ground, and I was like, oh, this finna. And as soon as I was about to say hurt, my head bounced off that concrete. My shoulder ate the rest of it. I slipped and tumbled. And thank God, I want a whole lot of people outside that saw it. That was the biggest fall I ever took in my life.
Dang.
I had a black eye, a concussion, a separated shoulder, and abrasions all down the side of my back. I was out of work for 6 weeks. But I say that to say this. That was just one concussion. My head was ringing for a week. So whatever I did to get that first concussion, I never want to do again. I'm sorry. So I got nothing against Tua's talent as a quarterback or as a football player, but I never want to see him on the field again. Kevin?
Yeah, man. I mean, like, how, didn't they have a documentary on, like, players who had CTEs?
Yes.
Okay. So, what's the record of how many concussions you had in the season? Or does anybody know? Because four is way. I mean, two in itself is bad. But, I mean, seeing that on the field, and not knowing until after the fact, on this early in the week, You know, which was why that, okay, this explains why the three interceptions back to back to back, you know. But, yeah, it's a very sad case. With, like I said, with all, we know great talent, but like everything, what we talk about all the time, everything's mental, you know?
Yeah, everything.
And once that takes a hit, it just goes downhill from there.
Yeah. CJ.
All right, look, so concussions. I've had a concussion. And, yeah, they hurt and they linger, you know. But the thing about concussions is, what do you do after you get the concussion? You know, do you change your style of play? Does the team put you in a better position? You know, Tua plays reckless football. Let's just keep it 100. He has a reckless style of football. You know, his indecision is what gets in him some of those concussions. Now, the poor offensive line play contributes, but holding on to the ball too long, running around in the pocket is a disaster. And some of it is just bad luck as well. But until Miami figures out, hey, if we're trying to really protect this guy, we need to change the game plan up. You can't ask this guy to keep dropping back because you got all these weapons. But even the cheetah, to run 60 yards, he's going to need 4 seconds. You don't have 4 seconds in. You don't have 4 seconds in the pocket all the time. So Miami, with this high-powered offense, has to dummy it down, has to do some San Francisco Purdy-type plays, run some more West Coast screens, quick ins, quick outs, and high-percentage passes to get the ball out of his hand if he wants to be successful in the NFL. They got to lean on the run game, add a little play action in, move the pocket. They have to put him in position to win. That's my biggest issue. This guy came off of that gruesome injury that everybody saw.
And played great football.
But they played the same football.
Yeah.
So if you play the same football, you're going to get what?
The same
results.
Now, I'm glad you said that, CJ. I got a question for you. I have never seen Tua like drop back, didn't see nothing, and just throw the football away.
Never. Never.
Okay. I thought I was the only one, cause I don't watch a lot of Miami football. I have never seen Tua just chunk it away.
No.
There's nothing there, throw it away, live to see another day. You see the Brady's and you see the Manning's do it, you see the Rodgers do it. I've never seen Tua do it. I started to see Jalen Hurts do it. Dak does it.
To be honest with you all, Mill, I don't even think they teach that no more. it ain't just Hurst. It ain't just on Tua. I've yet to see a lot of those young guys just drop back and, oh, it ain't there. Live to fight another day. I don't see that.
Yeah.
So Hurst does it. He don't do it a lot. I've seen him do it. He's developing that part of his game. He's starting to do that a little more.
It's growing with that thing. But those young guys think, oh, I'm going to take this.
Don't get me started on Zach Wilson.
Oh, God.
that's another guy I don't want to see for a long time.
No.
So, before we go into the NFL picks, now we talked about the Cowboys game earlier, but we talked about the Cowboys. I want you guys, what you guys' thoughts on Joshua Dobbs? Did he have an okay game in your opinion? Or, cause we all
actually played my Cowboys. I watched the game. He had a serviceable game, but nothing, there was never a threat there.
Right.
You know, the Cowboys had, what, we got 5 starters out. We got 4 or more players out of position. And then we got 3 of the, other 7 on the field injured.
Right.
Basically, on a short week.
Right.
No game plan for this guy because we don't know what he do.
Right.
So they gave him everything intermediary, you know, so he was going to pile up a few stats. But we saw when it mattered, he couldn't show up.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But what I do say is the guy has ability. He's an NFL quarterback. But the thing is, in this NFL,